Hey, good evening, everybody. It's coming Shabbos, Bez Hashem, we learn Parshas Vaero, which includes the first seven of the 10 Makkos, which came upon the Egyptians. And the last of the seven that are in this week's Sedra is the plague of Borod, where hailstones came down, according to Chazal, interpreting the Pasuk somehow, that there was fire inside the hail. That's what the Pasuk says, exactly how that worked. It was itself a miracle. And it was quite a commotion. And Paro finally gives in, or appears to give in. If you look in the first source, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayishach Paro, Vayikal Moshe, Aaron, Vayomer Lehem, Chatasi Apam, I've sinned this time. I admit my mistake, I sinned this time. Hashem HaTzadik, Hashem is the righteous, Vani V'ami HaRishoyim, right? And my people, me and my people, we're the wicked people. Please, Chav Ches, Hatir Al Hashem, Davin to your God, Habarav Mios Kolos, Uvrokim, Kolos Elokim Uvarad, enough of these terrible noises. Apparently there was a lot of thunder type noises and so on. I'm terrified of this, and I'll let your people go. You won't stay here anymore. And so in Pasuk Chavtes, the most important Pasuk for us this evening, Amar Lav Moshe, so Moshe says, okay, Kitzesi Asair, I'll walk out of town, I'll leave the city, I'll leave this area then. Ephro says, Kapai Hashem, I will extend my hands out, as a sign of prayer, extends my hand out to God. Hakolos Yechdolon, all these thunderous noises will stop. Habarad lo ye'od l'man tedake l'Hashem ha'aretz, and there won't be any more barad, any more hail, and then you'll know that there's no one like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He owns the whole universe. What does it mean, Kitzesi Asair? He says he has to leave town, leave the area before he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi quotes in the second source, Kitzesi Asair means min ha'ir, but I can walk out of the city, from the city, okay? And Avol betocha ir lo hispala, but he wouldn't daven when inside the city lefisha haisa malea gilulim. It was filled with avodah zarah, right? The Egyptians were idolatrous people, so the city had all kinds of idolatrous images, and Moshe wasn't comfortable davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place. We had all these idolatrous symbols and images and so on, and therefore he says he's going to have to leave the town. Later on in the Chumash, next week, said in Parshas Bo. It says in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, the famous Tzipzukim, right? The source three. Amar Shem Moshe Aharon Be'eretz Yitzrayim L'emor, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Aaron that the month of Nisan is the first of the month, and so on and so forth. And it goes on to give all the dinim of Korban Pesach. So it's interesting. It says Be'eretz Mitzrayim, the Mechilta there. And next week's Sedjan, Parshas Bo, Mesechta Episcopal Parsha Aleph writes Be'eretz Mitzrayim, source four, Chutz Lekrach. It must have been outside the city that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell him all these mitzvahs, because how do you know it wasn't in the city? No, because he quotes the Pasuk Mar Sedra. Moshe didn't even want to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when still standing in the city because of all of the idolatry there. So certainly if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal himself to Moshe with a prophetic message, including mitzvahs and so on, obviously it happened outside. Because in the city, last line that I printed, the city was filled with, you know, again, idolatrous images. So on the base of this, we find, I'd like to discuss this evening, a few things relating to Avodah Zarah in general, and specifically places that were worshipped or used for the worship of Avodah Zarah or for other inappropriate activities. I'm not going to go into this evening the issue of whether Christianity per se or Islam, other religions, are they considered Avodah Zarah, are they not considered Avodah Zarah. That's a discussion. It's an important discussion. But for now, we're talking about other religions, symbols and activities and behavior associated with other religions that we're supposed to try and stay away from. And that's just, I'm putting that in general, putting that out there. You know, that detail I don't want to go into this evening. The Mishnah in Masechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, says in source number five, Ir Sheyesh Ba'avodas Chachamim. You have a city where there's a lot of idolatry, okay? Chutz Al Amuter, you can stay outside the city and conduct whatever business you want, okay? If the idolatrous activity was outside the city, then you can go inside the city. And now, what if you're just traveling past there and so on and so forth? You need to go into the city, not just to speak to somebody and so on. So it says, Bizman Shadach Milcheres also Mokom Ofer, Usser. If that road leads only to that city, then you shouldn't even go on that road. If the road goes to multiple places, then it's Mutter. What's going on? So Rashi explains, the source number six, Rashi explains, there in Avodah Zarah, Yirah from a base. Ir Sheyesh Bavodah Zarah, what does that mean? Any city where there are non Jews? No, it means Sheyom Eid Yesh Libneho Ir Hayom Lavodah Zarah Chom Shabbat. We're talking about, the Mishnah is talking about, it says Rashi, the Mishnah is talking about where there is some sort of a fair. Eid is like a fair or a carnival, you know, a festival going on in honor of the Avodah Zarah, whatever their god that they god or gods that they worship. It's going on some kind of a carnival or a festival, a fair. Then that's a problem. A Jew should not go in while there's some kind of a holiday going on. Even if it should not do business that day and go in, into the town. But chutzal mutar, Rashi says, in Surah 60, but outside is okay, because the truth of the matter is, outside the city may be people who worship different gods. So they're not participating in that festival. Right? The Avodah Zarah had multiple gods and so on and so forth, and different groups worship different deities. So if in the city they're worshiping deity X that day and they're having a big fair, a big carnival, so you shouldn't go in for that. But outside the city is okay, because those are folks that are not participating in that. On the other hand, if the carnival, the festival, the fair is outside, right, and they're worshiping their god on that day, then you shouldn't go into the city. Then you shouldn't stay out, so you should try to go into the city. As Rashi says, because the people in this city don't worship that same deity. Okay, and that's the idea. And then what about going there, you know, not for business, just to talk to somebody? So now we said before, it depends whether the road leads only there or the road leads elsewhere. It's clear from elsewhere as well. So clear from Rashi, and the concern, by the way, is that with a look like if there's this big implication of Rashi, is that there's this big fair, this big festival going on in this city, and you go in there, so it looks like you're going to participate. Right, it's a Maris Ayan type of question, right? And people want to see that this Jew went in on this day when there's this big festival, big carnival going on, and he's participating in the fair. That's what it looks like. So you have to stay away from that kind of thing. That's the way Rashi learns. And that's the way other Rishonim learn as well. If you look in the Rush, there in the Bazaar Park, Allison and Tess, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah 7. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Lo usur lele, this isser to go into the city is only usur ela b'yirid, there's something going on that day, some kind of a fair, some kind of a carnival. It doesn't mean just because there are idolaters in the city, you can't go into the city. That's can't be what it means, says Rabbeinu Yonah. It's talking about the people get together from all kinds of different places. They come to the city for this festival, come from all over the place. And therefore, second line of seven, you shouldn't look like you're one of them joining this fair, joining this carnival. And you're going, because part of what they do at the carnival, they sell things, you know, like a carnival, right? The fair, the state fair, right? And they buy and sell and so on. You're going to go buy and sell. So it looks like you're participating with this Avodah Zarah. Okay. And then he refers to a Tosefta. As it looks like the Tosefta. I printed the Tosefta in source 8. The Tosefta is there in Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. So we can go right down to the Tosefta. And you read Shebetoch HaKrach. If there's some kind of a festival, carnival going on inside the city, then don't go to that city. Okay, or to nearby cities, because it looks like you're participating. Okay, and Rameyer says even in the outskirts, but the Chacham Omrim ain't Aser Ela Krach Bavad. Okay, and so on. So that's the Tosefta which Rameyer quotes. That's how he learns the Gemara. That's also the way the Ritva seems to learn. But the Ritva mentions the following in source 9, the Chiddush Ritva there in Avodah Zarah, Yirah from base 9. B'yeish Shapirish. Mishnah Seinu Shafilu Ein Kan Makom Chashad Oser. He, the Ritva says, it's not only if there's a concern that people will think, other people might think that you're participating in honor of this Avodah Zarah. Mishnah Oses Asuv Rov Am Shu Kavod Avodah Zarah Mishnah Asuv Im Rav Li Reed Shalom. It's just not the you yourself willy nilly. I think that's what the Ritva means. Will be honoring by participating. It doesn't matter what other people are going to think. That's not the issue. The issue is it looks like not what it looks like to other people, but to yourself. Right, you're participating in this festival in honor of another god. So that's how these Rishonim learned that the concern of the Mishnah was is a situation where there's some kind of a festival, a carnival, a fair going on, and that's when you can't go into the city. Comes the Rambam, however, the Rambam in his parish on Mishnah there in Avodah Zarah Perek Aleph, it's Mishnah Dalet 10. The Rambam says, okay, let me find the one. We'll read the first few words, but Lefisha ain mutar b'shum ponim likaneis leir sheyesh bo avodah zarah. Rambam says nothing about a carnival or a fair, a festival. You're not supposed to, a Jew is not supposed to go into a city where there's lots of idolatry. Bekol shekein ladur, but certainly you shouldn't live there. Okay? Bekol shekein litzchor, but you shouldn't go do business there. Nothing to do with a special festival or a carnival on a special day. Or generally, a Jew should avoid going into a place and certainly living and doing business in a place where there's a lot of idolatry. And everything there is also b'hanah and so on. And he writes in the second line of 10, L'fichach yes l'dash kol ir me'are ha'uma ha'notzris. Okay, he's talking about a Christian town. All Christian cities that have churches there and so on, right? They have a house of worship, the churches and so on there. Asher beis avodah zarah below safek, the Rambam considered that avodah zarah for sure. Okay, harei zua ir ein mutar lavor b'kavona. It's usher to intentionally travel in such a city. It's unbelievable. That's what Rambam says. If there's a city where there are churches and other, you know, other not other religions, again, I won't go into now, as I said before, which religions qualify, but you know, other religions, you have to stay away from it. You certainly shouldn't live there. Then the Rambam said, well, what can we do? Aval Hashem misona bidam, right? After the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, we were given over to their hands. We have no choice. We have to live. Okay? And that's what he says. That's what the Pasuk said. The Pasuk in Parshat Eschanan, in Source 11, Dvarim Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Ches, we read that on Tisha B'Av. It says that Hashem will scatter us to various nations, and it says in Chav Ches, about Atem Shom Elohim, we'll worship other gods there. Okay? Eitz Evan, wood and stone and so on and so forth, right? And it doesn't mean that we'll necessarily worship those gods, but we'll be under the thumb of the people who do. So Rambam says, what can we do? Okay? What can we do? We have no choice but to live there because that's what that's the golus. Then the Rambam ends, but in Zehu Din Ha'ir, Kalvachomer Ledin Beis Avodah Zarah Atzmo. The house of worship where they pray, that's for sure. Okay, you could say that we're stuck. We're under the thumb of the non-Jews. We're in exile, so we have no choice but to live in places where there are churches and other Avodah Zarah activities and so on. But to go into their place, he says, Shekimat osu lahabitbo. It's like almost osu to even look at such a place. The kosher kein lekari v'lov, it's certainly not to go near them and go inside. So the Rambam says, as far as living in the city is concerned, okay, you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu unfortunately sent us into Golos, we have no choice. But you know, to go into the houses of worship and so on, that he says, b'shum panin, it's absolutely awesome. The Rambam brings it la'alocha. Perek tes of hilchas avodas kachom or hilchas avodas zara. Perek tes, halacha tes, 12. Ir sheyesh avodas kachom mutar la'alech chutz avodas l'kanu b'tochi. Go in the outskirts, outside the city, but not inside. Or if there's avodas kachom outside, you can go inside. Now the Ravid comments, he says, that's only, Amar Rambam quotes that Tosefta that we saw above in source 8. That Tosefta was what? It was in Avodah Zarah, Parak Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Tosefta says it's only talking about when there is a Yerid, a business, you know, like a carnival, a festival, business fair going on. That's something else on a day to honor the Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't say anything about living there. So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam writes in source 12 also about the other pathways and so on. So it's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not it means in general. I mean, the Rambam takes a very, very strict position. And other Rishonim say, no, it's only when there's some kind of a festival sort of going on. The Shulchan Aruch, Paskins here, like the majority of the Rishonim, that's in Yoredeya Simon Kuf Mem Tes, Sif Aleph 13, Ir Sha'osim Bo Yerid, Biyom Chagom. If there's a city that's making some kind of a carnival on the day of their festival, day of their holiday, and there are lots of Ovdei Kachom, Miskabtsim, Mikamakomis, and people from all over the place come to this big city, you know, to participate in this fair in honor of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so then you must be careful. You stay outside the city, or if the fair is outside the city, you can go into the city and so on, as we mentioned. So the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like the Rambam. It doesn't say in general it's also to go in there. He's talking about only on specific occasions. However, it's noteworthy that the Shach in Simchat Aleph 14, Simchat Aleph there in Yeridei Simchat Kuf Mem Tes, quotes the Rambam. So he feels that even though the Shulchan Aruch didn't quote the Rambam, the Shach takes a stricter view when he quotes the Rambam, you know, verbatim, lehalacha. Okay? So, the Orchas Chaim, just to give you how seriously they took this idea, okay, the Orchas Chaim, again, one of the Rishonim, in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Oz Vav, 15, writes, because Rashbo Zal, if he perish Rashi, according to Rashi, okay, the business of the fair and so on, is a chashad, you know, because people think that you're worshiping other gods and so on and so forth. He says, you even should stay. Also, at the end of the first line, even to go into the courtyard, even on their property, not going into the building, you go in the courtyard. And he says, just to go talk to somebody, there's a chashad. And perhaps at the end, says the Aruch HaShem, it's a different sugya that we're talking about now, but it's noteworthy to know the Shita. Aruch HaShem says, Efshar afil iskei rabim afil al pikuach nefashas. Even though you're going to save your life or save someone's life, it's questionable you should go in to a place in Avodah Zarah. The tour, I don't go into great detail on this next point, but the tour questions whether the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah are actually arguing or not. Okay, the tour is there in Siman Kuf Mem Tes. We don't really need to go into great detail there. The tour says, the Rashba writes that there's a concern of chashoda, of suspecting, you know, of a Jew and so on and so forth, but he says seems to say the Rashba holds maybe like the Rambam that even if there is an if there's an Elil there, some god or some religious symbol is placed there, you shouldn't go in. And he says even chotzer, even to the courtyard where there is a religious symbol, okay. And then our places like that, you know, the fancy places. I remember when my wife and I were once in, in Acapulco, I think maybe once went for vacation. So we took some. Like a bus tour, you know, of the places that were somewhere in Mexico. Took the bus tour around different places, and it happens to be, I think we were the only, maybe there were two other people on that particular van, and it wasn't a busy day. So we went to, when they took this place, it was a fancy church and so on, overlooked a beautiful view, overlooking the whole city and so on and so forth. And the guide said, I can get out of the van and, you know, take a picture. But it was a place where they worshiped, you know, so. So I said, "Oh, we'll just stay here," you know. And surprised, "Oh!" I said, "No, I don't feel like getting out now." You know, made an excuse, whatever. We couldn't get out of the van. But that's what this tour quotes the name of Rashba. Then he quotes that maybe there been a Yonah. In other words, he suggests that perhaps a little bit of a difference. I mean, and the truth of the matter is, we saw already that whereas the whereas some say, the Rashi said, the concern is a chashad, people think you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. We saw the Ritva back in source there, and Adkamar Yeralf Mabez back in source number 9. Ritva says, you know, not so much as what other people think, but for yourself, you know, and, different suggestions, what's going on. But that's what the Torah says, and it's not clear whether Rashba agrees or Ben Yonah doesn't agree. That's a technical point, which, you know, we don't have to go into. The Beis Yosef comments there in 17. You know, he says it looks like Rabbi Yonah is disagreeing with Rashba. Maybe he's not disagreeing. Okay, that's a technical question. You can read through it if you're interested in the machlokes we've shown him. As far as the courtyard is concerned, okay, as far as the chotzer, the courtyard. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins there in Siman Kuf Mem Tes in Siv Beis, it says also that the chotzer, even the courtyard, Ramor writes in 18, Yesh omim dedino ki'ir, that's like the city, okay? And v'zman she'enu chomis kapsin shom v'tufos, so mutli kanasham. That's how the Rashba learned. Okay, again, that's a question where the Rashba disagreed with the Menayana, but the way the Shulchan Aruch assumes, the Rashba is saying that the courtyard is like a city, and it's only a problem if that's where they're gathering for some kind of a, you know, a festival or some kind of religious experience. Otherwise, it's okay, okay? However, he quotes, okay, v'yesh omim d'chon yonasar. Others say, no, no matter what. So that's really a machlokas. What we had a machlokas, the Rambam and others, about the city. But what about the courtyard? So that's a question where the courtyard has a din of the city, in which case you could have the same machlokas. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the Yesh Omrim, that it's like the city, and therefore it's only a problem if they're going and gathering there for their religious activities. And others say, no, it's also no matter what. All right, so it's the same machlokas. And the Shach says, it's a cotton hay in 19, Afilo Shalobiom 8, according to those who hold that way about the city, it would be usher to walk into the courtyard, even not on a day of the festival and so on. And that's how the Bihar Groh, okay, suggests in Cotton Zion, he thinks that the Rashba maybe agrees with the Rambam. Okay, and he talks about that, Machlokas. Just as an interesting side point, in the Sefer Chasidim, Simin Tof Lamed Hey, look at 21, the Sefer Chasidim says, listen to this. Kumar Echar Chayv Lehudi Kesed, a certain religious official of some other religion owed a Jew money. Okay, but Yada Kumar Shalal Echachar Beisatiflus. He knew that the Jew was never going to come into the church, into the house of worship. So any time the Jew came to collect his money, he ran into the house of worship. He knew the Jew couldn't get in there. Lo Ratzi Hudi Lechachar Shom. Okay. And then he tells a story about somebody who actually did go in because he wanted to get his money back. He did follow the guy in, okay? And, you know, and then he felt bad about it afterwards. So he accepted the fast on that day every year and so on and so forth. So, you know, and it quotes a pasuk, Osi yishlach l'acharei gavecho. Okay, that's a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudalad, pasuk tes. This is when the Navi is speaking to Yeravam, you, I'm going to take the melucha away from you, the kingdom away from you, because you did bad things. And Osi, the end of the pasuk tes, Osi yishlach l'acharei gavecho. You threw me behind your back, so to speak. That's what the Radak explains in 23. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudalad, pasuk tes. Shalom panis elah, you didn't daven to me. It's like a person takes some garbage and you throw it over your shoulder, you get rid of it. Okay, so that's how you've treated me. That's what it means. Okay. Now, as a practical result of this idea that you're not even allowed necessarily to go into the courtyard, so we should just be aware, this is a side point in terms of tonight's shiur, but it's an important point to know. Moshe Feinstein, Chuvah Sigris Moshe, Yoredei Chelagimel Simon Kuf Chaf Tes, Ozvav, Yisur Likonis Leknesiasa Notzim Poshut, Shalikonis Leknesiasa Notzim Shumokom Shaovdim Vosim Tivlusom Shaosur, Af Likonis Raklabit Bitsuros. Okay, you want to just look at the artwork. You know, some churches in Europe have beautiful, beautiful paintings and artwork and so on and so forth. You can talk about the, you know, roof of the Sistine Chapel, right? So the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, beautiful artwork. Says that Moshe Feinstein, he's not allowed to go in there. Look at it. He said, that's what emerges from all these gemaras. Okay, and in a different tshuva, that was Yerdei Chelik Gimel Simen Kuf Chav Tes. And in our Chaim Chelik Dalet Simen Mem 25, he talks about kids playing. You know, let's say they have a gym, they're playing basketball, they have a court, you know, that they play outside, okay, or a field or something like that. He says, Misachake Yeladim Ulam Ashach, Latimat Akum Advars, Leschok Yeladim, Bishok Kadur, playing ball in a ulam, in a room, in a gym that's owned by a church and so on and so forth. He says that it's not right, that even if there are no religious symbols there. And it says, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei Perakei, pasuk Ches, Harchek Meladar Kecha. Keep your ways far away from theirs. That's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says on Yitzayin of Aleph, Harach 27, Harach Melach Nechecha, Zuminus. That's a heresy, right? We should train our children such emotions to stay away from such things. And in a similar vein, and I will conclude this part of the first unit here, the Tzitz Eliezer, Lezer Waldenberg, Chelek Yedal and his Tshuvah Simen Tzadi Aleph, okay, Imuto L'Knesia Likonis Leknesia, O Minzar, O Matskana, a mosque, a church, you know, or into their courtyards and so on. And he also says that it may depend on this machlokas, obviously, because according to the Rambam, it's also for certain, right, even walking to the courtyard like in the city. But others say it's like the city that it should be, you know, it should be mutter as long as no other activities going on there. And he says, even according to those we've shown him, the end of the first paragraph, we call him a chassidus. It's at least a midas chassidus, you know, proper thing to stay away. Okay? And he has medayik a little bit in the Ramo with the Yesh Omrim, and he quotes that Sefer Chassidim. So it's better, look at the last words of 28. Vimkein boror she'osoli konos l'chotzer ke'lahashkif alam nof. That's what I was talking about. Even to walk in the courtyard, just look at the view, the scenic view, not allowed to do that. So that's a good thing to stay away from. Now, let's move over to the realm of davening. Okay, so here I just introduced this by saying about visiting and looking into these places and so on. What about davening in a place where there was, you know, Avodah Zarah around? Okay, I'll make a point of mentioning, I don't know if it's still true, but for many years, Holy Name Hospital here in Teaneck was under the diocese. And I remember going, there used to be crosses on every wall. There were crosses on every wall all the time. I don't know if they're still there. Maybe they are still there. I'm not sure. I think it's now not. It's independent, I think. It's no longer under the diocese. But Holy Name Hospital, because the question, I remember getting quick, can you dive in there? You know, so you're in the room. You're in the hospital for a couple of days. You know, today they throw you out of the hospital pretty quickly. Anyway, but let's say a person is laid up in the hospital for a few days. And of course, what do you do at davening? And so on. So the Trumas Hadeshen in Simon Vov, 29, has a discussion. Okay. And he says, Misha Hu Baderech, a guy was traveling somewhere. And it's getting late in the day, and it's getting dark. And he has to daven mincha, tefillas mincha. Bahareu karov l'malon. He's near the inn or the hotel where he's staying. But in that city where he's staying overnight. That's an idolatrous city, not a Jewish community. And there's Avodah Zarah all over the place. He can get there in time to daven mincha. But the thing is, by being in a hotel, who knows what's in his room and what's in the area where he's davening. Maybe it's better to daven on the road where there's nothing there. It's the side of the road. And the Tshuva Sadeshin, the second part of the 29, and the Tshuva says he thinks if a guy can duck to the side of the road and he's sure of being safe there, right? I mean, sometimes you duck to the side of the road, so you subject yourself to attack by animals and by marauding, you know, bandits, highway robbers or whatever. Okay, so he says he thinks that's better. Okay, unless if he's sure that Shalo Yavo over Drachm Yafsiku, other people, passers by, won't give him a hard time, then Shapir Tzvei is Palam Baderech. It's better to daven along the way in that place. Mashis Palam alone. Beir Shakul Anochim. May should be ear Harbe Gilum Batetumi Yeshbo. Right. The Kimat Shein Malone Shu Beis Nochri. Okay. Shalo Timtza Baharbe Gilum. There's no inn that's owned by a non-Jew that's not filled with all getchkes and other religious symbols. That's the norm. No fault of theirs. That's what they do. They you know, I mean, I'm not saying that, but even nowadays, we don't necessarily have religious symbols, but very often in the drawer in the hotel, you have the Gideon Bible. Gideon Bible includes the New Testament. It has the Old Testament too, but it has the New Testament. We don't call it the Old Testament. We don't think there was one. But, you know, the Gideon Bible has the New Testament right in the drawer. So in the olden days also, there was all the rooms in the hotel in a non-Jewish, in an inn, in a non-Jewish inn. It was filled with all kinds of paintings and you know, religious symbols and descriptions and so on. And he says, oh, Chakuk and Bakosta were engraved into the wall and so on. So it's better to stay there. And he quotes the pasuk from here that we started with in Parsha Shmos, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to daven in Mitzrayim because of all the idolatrous symbols that were there. That's why he left town. He went out to the field to someone else to daven. And he also quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Chav Zayin, we'll see in a moment. Anyway, the conclusion of Shmos Hadesh is if the guy can daven on the road with none of these distractions are there, then it's good. But if not, you have no choice. Again, it'd be the Eved. Shasa Chak and the Eved. You have no choice but to daven in the, you know, in the hotel rooms. He says, daven and find some corner somewhere, you know, and do the best you can. Okay. What's the Gemara in Shabbos? Kuf Chav Zayim Beis. The Gemara tells a story. And here it extends beyond the realm of Avodah Zarah, it seems to me. Tanur Rabbanon, Kuf Chav Zayim Beis in Shabbos that the Shmos Hadesh referred to. Pam Achas, Hutzvach Dover Echad, V'tamir Chav Me'etzal Matruniso Achas. The rabbis needed something from a certain matron, a certain woman who was known to be very politically well-connected. But aside from being politically well-connected, and maybe that's why she was politically well-connected, Shekol Gedolei Romi Mitzuyin Etzla. All the Roman officials would hang around by her. You know, implication is for illicit activities. Right? She was a favorite mistress of many of the Romans. But for one reason or another, one of the rabbis needed something from her. So Amar Meila, who's going to go? So Amar Rabbi Yeshua Aniela, which is, I'll go. Halach Yeshua Talmidim, he traveled there with his, you know, retinue of the Talmidim accompanying him. Kevon Shigila Pesach Beso Cholat Tefillah Berichuk Dalal Amos. Yeshua generally wore his tefillin all day. When he came near this place, he took off his tefillin. And then he went in, he locked the door, and when he came out, he went to the mikveh, right? That's a little suspicious. What was he doing in there, you know? And the rest of the Gemara explains, this is one of the Gemaras that proves he should be dan lekaf schuz, to judge people favorably, and the Talmidim indeed did, okay? And the reason why he took over tefillin, the Talmidim explained and understood, because, you know, you don't want to go in with a Dover Shavik Tush in a place that's full of tumah. And the issue here does not seem to be about a Zorah. It seems to be other, when I titled the Shir, halachically inappropriate activities, right? It's not so much a question of idolatry in this Gemara, but it's a question of halacha. You know, if this was a house, it wasn't a Beis Zona, a prostitution center, but it was a place where, you know, a house of ill repute in the sense that people got there for illicit activities. So he didn't want to daven in there. And I'm saying he didn't want to wear a tefillin when he went in there. Nothing to do with Avodah Zarah per se. Then at the end, Shmos Hadesh in 29 refers to a Gemara Brachas of Gimel and Aleph, which says that Rabbi Yossi one time had a daven along the way, and he went into a churva, one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. A ruined building, a rickety ruined building. Okay, and Elionovi came and appeared to him and said hello. And he told him it's not proper to daven in such a place. You shouldn't daven. Why are you davening here in this ruined building? He said, I didn't want to daven on the side of the road because I'm afraid that people would stop me. Okay, so he said, well, if so, then daven more quickly. But you shouldn't, you should daven on the side. Better to daven on the side of the road. That's what he mentions. So again, based on that, the halacha would seem to be that a person should not wear tefillin like in Ad Gemara or like the Shmos Hadesh, and to avoid, if possible, davening in a place where there are idolatrous symbols. Okay, what do you do in the hospital when there's a cross on the wall? So I told people, if you can take it off, if it's just this, so take it off and put it in the closet or something and close the door and then daven if you can. If you can't take it off, so cover it up with something. cover it up with something before you daven. You can't do that. So they have no choice. So go in the opposite corner of the room and turn your back and face the other way. Never mind facing Mizrach. You know, but that's what seems to be. Now, what's interesting is, just a moment. The Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Tzadi Dalad, Siftes, like this Trumas Hadeshin. Quotes the Rav Moch, quotes it. Misha Baba Derech, right? A guy was traveling, and again, he had that same question. She daven on the side of the road, or she go to the hotel? He said, first try to daven on the side of the road. If you, nope, if you can't, then you, like he says at the end, you have no choice. It's too dangerous to daven on the side of the road. Then, the end of 34, you spot a Malone, Beza Karen Zavis. Daven, you know, in the hotel, in the room, even though it's not optimal, you know, in some kind of a corner somewhere. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot and Choftes. That's because, generally speaking, like we said before, hotel or a room, boarding rooms, whatever, owned by non-Jews in a non-Jewish town, Mistama have all kinds of stuff on the wall and so on and so forth, religious symbols and so on. Now, what's also interesting is an application of this, which we find in some of the Rishonim. An interesting application of this. There is a related sugya in Shulchan Aruch, not really talking about our case at all, but in Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Hei Siv Chav, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in 36 that Haya Asar B'Makom Echad, if 10 people were davening in a place, a minyan. Okay? And they're saying Kaddish and Kedush and everything else. Even if you're not in the same room with them, you can answer. Very often comes up, you know, in the shul at the different rooms or whatever on the side. So you can answer Yesh Mei Rabba, meaning you can count as part of the minyan, but you can't count towards the minyan. The minyan has to be established in the same room. If you're outside in an adjacent room, you can be part of the minyan, but you can't count towards the minyan. That's an important din to be aware of, beside din, and especially sometimes nowadays where people are davening different people's homes, and not everyone's back in shul yet, and so on and so forth. So sometimes it comes up, rachman tzan, on a base oval. Okay, where they have, let's say, a living room, dining room, and there's a room, like it needs a new mezuzah, it's a different room. Okay, and you have five people in one room and five people in the other room. And unfortunately, it doesn't count to the minyan. You have to have 10 in the same room. Okay, then the other people who are beyond that, they count, they're part of the minyan. Anyway, but more important for us now is at the end of the Ramor there, in 36, Siman Nun Hei Baruch Chaim Siv Chav, Yesh Omer Shetzar Shoyim Mavsik Tinov Ovodus Kachavim. They can't be in the way between where you are and where the minyan is, a garbage dump or some kind of idolatry. You know what is relevant now also in Eretz Yisrael, where they have shutdown, lockdown, and so on and so forth. So if people want to daven, or they did, April and May and so on, at a minyan in the courtyard, and this guy participated from his mirpeset, the other guy participated from his mirpeset. So he said, as long as there are 10 people constituting the minyan, that's okay. Other people can join in, but you can't join in if right in between where you are standing, you're at home or your porch, there's a big garbage dump with smelly garbage, in the way, then that kind of interrupts it, between you and the minyan. And not only that, but Avodas Kochavim, also an idolatrous symbol. Okay. Magen Avraham, Tezvav, says it means an idolatrous symbol, but not a goy. The goy is standing there, it's not the Ovid Avodas himself, not the person worship Avodas are. But the idolatrous symbol. The other rabbins, Sivkot Nilches, isn't so sure. He said maybe even the non-Jew shouldn't be in the way either. Okay? But anyway, that's the that's the ruling over there. Mishnah Berurah and Sivkot and Samech Hey, Paskins, Avodas Kochavim O Ovikovim. Either one, Paskin like the other rabbi. So that's also an important thing to be aware of. Now, with that in mind, okay, we can understand something else. Okay? And really raises a question. What if where I'm davening, okay? So there is not, my minyan is fine, but above me, okay, is, non-Jews living upstairs. I have a shul on the ground floor and it's somebody living upstairs. So just like we said, an Ovid Ovid Chacham, the person, or certainly his symbols, can sort of interrupt between you and the minyan. So does it interrupt between you and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak? So the Mordechai in Shabbos, in the first parak, in Remez Reish Chav Chas 40, writes, Kosar Ben Omer, okay, any day Yisrael Shamish by Aliyah shall gabe beisak nesi. Told him, what's the status of the Aliyah? That's the next floor, the second floor of a shul. Does that have kedusha? Does it not have kedusha? And he ties it into a question in Yerushalayim, and by the Beis Hamikdash with the gagin va'aliyos, with the rooftops and the attics in the second floor that they can have kiddush because they're not really attached to the ground. Okay, and he says that the Gagamas Azor alone is kachu, but he said important thing. We could argue that maybe they're not really part of the kedusha. However, look at the second line of 40. There's a Mordechai and Shabbos. Mihu yeshli zaher melishtameh shom tashmish shel gnai. But it can't be that you engage in, you know, just that the person standing there is something okay. But if you engage in tashmish shel gnai, which includes just sleeping there, then that's a problem. Okay, then that's a problem. He says, and he says that we continues that we have to treat our shuls, you know, like a mikdash ma'at, okay? And the truth of the matter is, in the mikdash itself, the upper levels did count as part of the lower levels. So that's an issue of comes up, and not in shuls in suburbia, but in the city, they have a shul on the ground floor. Or even here, there are apartment buildings here and apartment complexes, and people live upstairs and so on. So, and they do whatever they do, you know, I mean, even normal marital life, but, you know, could be their worship of Avodah Zarah. Who knows what's in those places upstairs, okay? So what they're doing. So the Rambam has a tshuva. In the tshuva, so Rambam, in the Blau edition, Simon Kuf Nun Zion, 41, the Rambam was asked this question, Bidvar Beis Aliyah B'Shal Beis HaKnesses, and there's a store upstairs or whatever it is, all right, and part of the house is on top of the Aron. Okay, and then as we put the Sefer Torah, right above the Aron is some whatever they're doing up there. It's a problem. So Ramosha writes in the Tshuva, not Ramosha, the Rambam, the original Ramosha, 41. The Rambam writes, the Tshuva Chayav Hadar B'Bayis is Shomer Mokum Shemal Eichal. The person who lives upstairs should be careful not to put anything above, corresponding above to where the Aron is. That's how the Rambam writes. Okay. And he shouldn't sleep over there, do other activities there. And the rest of the house is okay, but not above the Aron. So Shulchan Aruch discusses this din in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Aruch Haim Sfin Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yud Beis 42. He says, Yeshli Zohar Melishtamesh Baliyah Shal Gabi Beis HaKnesses Tashmish Kavua Shal Gnai. He says Tashmish Kavua, to regularly use it for something, you know, inappropriate. Once in a while, I guess I think it's okay. Okay? But Shar Tashmish, you know, Yeshli Stapeg, you're not sure. All right? Now, the Ramor writes, that's all true about a regular shul, which was built as a shul. But sometimes you have a house or a building where they rent a room. It wasn't built as a shul, right? It wasn't built to be a shul. And they rented a room, and then later on, it became part of the shul and so on. So there, you can't tell the people upstairs now, you know, it wasn't a shul originally. So he makes that important chiluk. The Chari Tshuva in Simon Kuf Nun Aleph there, in Aruch Haim, in Tazayin, quotes this Ramam Lahalacha. Okay, make a distinction between what's above the Aron and what's in other places. The Taz tells us.
Yeah. Question. Yeah. You just sort of tripped into the issue of the time dimension as opposed to the geographical dimension.
What do you mean?
Well, if a place at one point was a place of Avodah Zarah, or upstairs there was a place of a garbage dump.
Yeah.
And it's no longer there, or it's not there today, but it'll be there tomorrow.
Right. So hold that. I was only talking now that the people upstairs before was a shul. We'll get to your point. Okay. What if
ask a question? What if you have a private house and let's say on the main floor, you have an Aron because you have your own Sefer Torah. And let's say the Aron has other things above it in terms in the house. Does that make an OL that you don't have to worry about the floor up on top of it?
I mean, if it's inside the Aron, that's a separate rishus technically.
Right. If the Torah is inside the Aron, then on top of that.
But the Rambam and the Tshuva that we just saw seem to be machmir, but not to do anything directly above the Aron. Again, Tashmish Kavua Shel Gnai. You know, if it's a regular room and the kids go in and out or whatever, but if it's a room where people sleep or husband and wife are together, he thinks it shouldn't be. That's the Rambam. But Josh, again, to your issue, the only thing we saw so far was the idea of the, you know, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch in the end in 42, and Siv Kuftan Alf, Siv Yud Beis, the end, Bayah Sheyichtu La'achar Shenivdal Beis HaKnesses Mutar Lishkavalov. Okay? You know, that may make a difference. We'll come back to that point. We'll come back to that point, Be'ez Hashem, shortly. The Taz, though, says a very interesting thing. It relates, Lee, to your question also. And I don't know, take what he says, but he says in Siv Kuftan Dalet there, in Siv Kuftan Alef, a staggering thing. He says, certainly, if they built the house after they built the shul and so on, okay. But But he does mention again in terms of a time issue. In Bishar Shabana Besaknes is Bana Bezu Lamala Mena the Shari, the Halahuk Tishkal Lamala. He says if at the same time, and this relates to your question, and Josh also, if at the same time that they built the shul, they built the room above it to be used, you know, so then that place never had sanctity, so to speak. We're talking about if they, after they built the house above, okay, now you're adding something before the Aron was just, you know, directly under the heavens, so to speak. And now you interrupt it. But if they built it that way in the first place, that's different. But even there, he writes, Aval Tashmish shall be Zion, something which is, you know, again, inappropriate. So then he says, near the Chol Gavnos, says, no matter what, like Goyim lived there, or Tino, there's garbage and so on, if it's there now, anyway. And he brings a proof from that Shulchan Aruch that the garbage or the idolatry with symbols can interrupt between a person being mitzuref to the minion, like we mentioned before. And then look what he says at the end, unbelievable. He says, he said again, it's okay to do it if it's upstairs, it's nikias, it's clean. But look what he writes at the end, last line of 44, staggering comment. Ani b'yaldusi, when I was younger, ha'yisidar b'kile kadosha Krakow, I lived in Krakow, in Bnei Beisi, my family, b'beis midrashai, you know, my building, which had a beis medrash, and l'mala b'beis haknesses, I lived above the beis haknesses, and nashti harbe b'misas b'ni v'talisi b'zeh. I suffered a great personal tragedy, my child died, and I attributed to this. So that's a pretty strong statement. Rachman Litzlan, that's what the Taz is right. And the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in Chelek Archaim Siman Lamed Beis, you know, and he mentions this Taz, okay, and he says certainly if there's garbage or other stuff upstairs, it kind of interrupts between what we're trying to do and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, okay. And he quotes this pasuk, right? He quotes our situation. Look in Dalet, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to daven, you know, where there was a avodah zarah. The Mishnah Berurah, there in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, in Sivkot Mem, he writes, we're not sure, do we consider the attic to be like, it has Kedusha, it doesn't have Kedusha, and again, it depends perhaps when it was built. Shar HaTzion writes in Sivkot Nchof Beis, the Mishnah Berurah in the Shar HaTzion 47, writes, Shadover Zeh Eina Maniach HaTzil HaS Lamala, Shach Gam Zeh. Okay, Abu Be'emes, Ikar Soi Mokach HaS Kal, Mashevi Smach, Lezeh Mishnah Nhei, Yeshu Chalek, he says, Lamaisa, Chain Amad Debar Lahakil. People are Makil. They have shuls on the ground floor and then even though other activities going on upstairs. Lamaisa, people are Makil. Getting back though to actual idolatry symbols, so the tshuva from Rav Breish and Chalkis Yaakov, Arachim Simon Lamed Gimel, he was asked about a person for business reason, Lerage Mishar, is Achsein Bamalon. He was staying in some inn. And at the top of the inn, at the top of the hotel, was a big cross, right? Or big, whatever, religious symbol. Right, and they're religious symbols, and they're religious symbols. It's one thing to talk about a cross, other types of cross with, you know, you see Jesus hanging there and so on and so forth. And, you know, we've seen these different types of symbols. Reminds you of the joke that, you know, the yeshiva student was always misbehaved and yeshiva was kicked out of one yeshiva after another. His father's exasperated, didn't know what to do. And, you know, the kid kept getting thrown out of yeshiva. He had no choice. He sent him to the local Catholic school. The kid had to get an education. So all of a sudden, when he goes to that Catholic school, his behavior is perfect. His behavior is no problem, no issues whatsoever. And the father says, I don't understand. I had you in all these different yeshivas, you acted up all the time, you acted out, and you wouldn't behave. And now you go to this place and you behave fine. He said, Dad, when I walked in that place and I saw that big cross and that guy hanging there, I said, oh, this place, they mean business. Tough in this place. I'm not acting up here, right? But anyway, there are different types of, you know, there are different types of avodah zarah. And, the Chalkus Yaakov discusses again on top of the Malone, there was some kind of slum. And what does he do about davening? So again, he writes in Oz Beis there in 48, he says, B'shasad chak yesh lahatir. Okay, for the shasad chak, we have no choice. What else is the person supposed to do? He has to daven. Okay. And, you know, he says that the Yesh Omrim altogether, Shulchan Aruch only quoted this. We look back as a Yesh Omrim. Question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why don't we consider the building, since every building has one, two layers of insulation and a wall.
Every room should be separate.
Not only that, why can't we do like tefillin, kedusha, tik betoch tik, natik betoch natik? Why can't we do that with the rooms?
So it certainly makes a lot of sense, but apparently when avodah zarah, we're stricter about it. Again, you know, but that's really what the Chalkus Yaakov is saying. So this whole thing is really a chumrah. The whole thing is a chumrah. Chumrah avodah zarah. We do try and be more careful, you know, to avoid you know, any appearance or any smacks of Odeh Zarah. But again, you know, he notes that in the Shulchan Aruch has this, you know, the Yesh Omrim, you know, there's some people who are strict about it and so on. So you're right. And I think, you know, that's why Shasar Chak is, it's mutter, I think, because of that reason. You know, you're not within, in the paragraph that he writes, you're not within Dalad Amos, right? I mean, that's, you're not within four Amos of where the Avodah Zarah is and so on. Okay. So he doesn't, again, if you can, okay. But, you know, he says, if you can, you have to rely on that Magen Avraham and the others who are Mekel, but there's room to be Machmir if you can possibly avoid it. Okay, and he looks in Gimel. We Mozart drawing the end, Nimtzeinu Lemeidim, Shabonim Beisil, Chatzchil, Bekfiyas, also Nosag Abav Diros. Don't, when you first build the shul, don't build it with rooms on top that you're going to rent out to avoid the problem, right? The same issue. Okay, avoid the problem. If you're stuck, okay, so there's room to be, you know, again, there's some room for leniency, but try to avoid it in the first place. Look at the Sefer Chassidim writes, in Siman Tov Lamed Zayin, im adam bebeis haknesses haroa derech halon beis avodah zara. Let's say you're in shul, there's nothing on top, but across the street there's a beis avodah zara. Okay, and there's a cross. The shesiv erev means whoop on a wharf, a cross. That's what he says, specific cross. So he says, you know what? Put up a shade. You know, close the window and put up a shade. You can't see it. We're very concerned about it. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, which apparently is a Maishe Shehoya, Chelek Aleph Simon Mem Zayin, and Chelek Arachayim and Igus Moshe. There's a shul in Brooklyn, okay, called, it says the name, second line, Beis HaKnesses, Reyem Ahuvim be Brooklyn. I don't know if anyone knows what it is, but there's a shul in Brooklyn, and many Tamil Chachamim and Rabbanim, Davinim, and so on and so forth, right? And it was a beautiful shul and so on, and for many, for 35 years, it says, for people davening there and learning there and so on and so forth. And now, he says, it's one of the shuls that's certainly going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's our tradition. And he goes, what happened? He says, now they built a church, the property to the east of the Dafka to the east. We face Mizra. The Dafka to the east, the shul is sold to a non-Jew, to a church. Okay. And the only thing in the middle is the wall, you know. So can you still continue the daven? And so Moshe says, yes, it's okay. He now in his daiti, any rabbi zech shum chashash adina. Okay. And even though you may think it's Marisayan, you know, because, you know, we're facing towards the church, or we know there's a church behind there, but Moshe is lenient on that. You know, unless they're actually worshiping the church, it's the building itself, which is not usual. We'll get back to the one that was not usual, the usual situation. However, in a different tshuva, Yerodeh Chayla Gimel Simon Ayin Zion, he was asked, and again, this was the shul was there first, and now it was sold. But here you have an opposite case. Igus Moshe Yerodeh Chayla Gimel Simon Ayin Vav. He writes, 51, Hoshavas Yeshiva Bebinyan Ashach Lebeis Avodah Zarah, Somach Lebeis Tiflosam. Some yeshiva needed extra space. There was a church across the street or whatever nearby. So they wanted to let some of the classrooms go in there, right? The EF Shalah Hasig Mokom Yeshiva Katana. There was Yeshiva Katana in elementary school, and there was no place to put the yeshiva except with a building that the church had was renting out. There was a big cross there and so on and so forth next to it. And he says, Pasha Chaoser, after Lakshav, you can't even think about such a thing. Even though it's a separate building from the church, it wasn't the sanctuary, the separate building. Nonetheless, it's right next to the church. And the fact that there's a cross there, the Rabbanim are objecting to this. All right, so says Moshe. I once, years ago, many years ago, my shul was considering buying a property by Essex Road and the Maitland here in Teaneck. And there's that church there presently. I think now it's a Korean church or something. One time it was, I think, a Presbyterian or Episcopalian church. I forgot already. But anyway, be that as it may. So the shul, the, you know, in Teaneck, they're very makbid that the shuls all have to have parking lots. You know, we don't use the parking on Shabbos, but okay. But so anyway, so we wanted to, we looked into making a deal with the church that they would say that we could use their parking lot on Saturdays, even though we don't use it. But in terms of the town, in terms of the law, you know, that we'd have enough parking spaces. So I remember we had to go meet with some of the people from the church and present what we want. So obviously go to their territory, you know. So I asked the Shilas and so on and so forth. So I was told that as long as I'm not going to the sanctuary, which I was going to an office, you know, on the side. So P.S. was very interesting. They were very nice. And Lema Heisa, the whole thing didn't work out. Our shul didn't buy the property. The whole thing wasn't okay. But I remember going in with someone else in my shul. And before we started to talk about the Lema Heisa, you know, we had some chit-chat, you know, about their community, whatever it is in our community. We were talking neighborly. And they told us that the pastor, the minister, whatever exactly was, had just recently retired. And he said, they were telling us that the church is now at a crossroads because they have to hire a new minister. And there's a big dispute among the members of the church. Some people want someone who's a scholar. Other people are more interested in someone who speaks well. Someone else wants someone who's good with the kids. Other people want a good pastoral. I'm thinking to myself, boy, people are the same everywhere. People are the same. You have the same discussion on the shul board. And I remember after I walked out, I saw the other person in the shul came to me. We Dafka avoided eye contact during that conversation. We both would have burst out laughing. That's exactly the same debate. This guy wants someone who's a bigger tamachokam, and they want someone who gives a good cheer. They want someone who's good with the ladies or with the elderly. Same thing. People are people everywhere. Anyway, but Ramosha is against this shul, this yeshiva opening in the shul. Now, there is also a difference. Okay, the Magen Avraham comments. The Magen Avraham comments in Siman Kuf Nun Dalad. Okay. What about davening in a place? And this goes back to what the Josh was asking about before. Okay, what about davening in a place which is used also for other activities? Okay, will be used, is used for various other activities. All right, so the Magen Avraham here, or even a question that you want to make, was a church going to make it into a shul or something like that? Are we just renting a hall? Who knows what happened in that hall last night? You're renting your daven there, but last night they used it for striptease or whatever, whatever they use it for, right? So anyway, the Magen Avraham, and then the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Kuf Nun Dalet Sif Yud Aleph 52, talks about using candles that have been used for idolatrous purposes. You can't use them in shul. Can't take those very same candles, use them in shul. The Magen Avraham in Sifkot Yud Zayin says, "L'chol mili de mitzvah, ain osim edavah shenasa levodas elim." You can't use anything which had avodah zara tinged to it. You touched it. You can't use it for shul. Okay, for any mitzvah. Can't use it for any mitzvah. Okay, and he says as follows. He says in the second line there, quotes the Re'eim. Even if they used the shul, but if they used the shul for davening, then it's okay because it's not the item. You're not using that. I'm just using a building, so to speak. That's what he seems to say. Okay. And the Dogam Revava disagrees. Okay. Based on Agmar Megillah. Dogam Revava is Menor Behuda, same author. They're in Simkuf Nandal, Tzifid Alv, and that Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham is lenient. Magen Avraham basically says that if it's just a building, you can't use candles. The candles themselves are used as part of the service. The building is just a building, unless you want to argue that they worship the building itself. Okay, but that's not the usual case, okay, that they worship the building itself. So Magen Avraham has this leniency. The Magen Avraham disagrees on the basis of a tosis in Megillah. There's a pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Tes, pasuk Zion 55, and the pasuk says, speaks about whatever's left over from the garden eventually will be used by the Jews for good things, right? The pasuk about Sirosi Domov, and so on. It says, "V'nishar gam hula lokeinu v'ha'ke elof bihuda v'kron kivusi." Okay, it'll be used for in the future. It'll be used for Jewish things, right?
Moshe's yeshiva.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Rav Moshe Yeshiva in Staten Island, Yeshiva Gdola. It was a very big church.
It was a church or school?
It was a church, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's when it come to, okay. I don't know. I thought it was a school.
So Rav David, Zichron Racha, used to be there. And
yes.
And
Ruben.
Used to be, yes. I used to live close there. So
I didn't know it was a church. I thought it was a school. Okay. Let's see. So the Tosas and Megillah, the Gemara says, what does that mean? Look in 57, the Gemara Megillah, Vavanah, Savahar, Kalap, Yehuda, Mekron, Kibusi, Elu Tartaros, Kikol, Shabbat Edom, Shaosid, Asidin, Sorry, Yehuda, Lumo, Behen, Torah, Barabim. You know? Okay. And that's the Gemara interprets that Pasuk. Okay. Means eventually it'll be like the Jews, like the Yerushalayim. In the future, Jewish people will use that for Torah and mitzvahs, right? And kibbutzim and Yerushalayim. Tosus, however, says, and that would be exactly our issue, right? The Jews will eventually use it, good. But Tosus there in Megillah, Vav and Aleph says, 59, bate over this kochavim. Okay, fine. And what those words mean, not our issue now. Okay. But he says, I don't think it's right. I don't think that's what it means. Okay, the kosher loma she'osan mekom tanovus yochal limud sham Torah. Those places which are used for idol worship is now used for Torah now. And levada l'shmama yehid merameinu. They should be desolate forever. Okay, what does it mean? It means where rooms where people got together for avodah zarah, not for that they prayed, but they were over there. Avodah zarah got together. So that's what Tosa says. That's what Tosa says. So on the basis of that, there's some discussion in the poskim about this. The Elia Rabbah, Simkuf Nun Zayin Simkot and Tezvov, he quotes Amar Avram, "Afilu bebayish shenever bo bekeva mutar." It's just a house, okay? And Amar Avram says because it's like attached to the ground. Something attached to the ground can't become osur and so on. However, he says, he thinks that it's also, it's not allowed. The Binyan Tzion has a tshuva. Rav Ettlinger, Simon Sama, Gimel, and his tshuvas. We had this situation. He got a letter from a rabbi in New York. Right, look at the opening line. Arosh Beis Hamidrash, Rav so-and-so, Avram Ash, Neriyar, Bekila Kadosh in New York. Asher Shaul was asked, Kinidchuku Rosh Beis Hamidrash, Likros Lem, Liknos Lem Baisa. We need a place for our Beis Hamidrash, for our shul. And the only place we can find is an old church that's for sale and so on. It was used, but they don't have any, I guess it was Protestant. They don't have any marks on the wall or getchkas there and so on and so forth. Is it allowed? So he writes in the tshuva in the second paragraph, the Binyan Tzion, there's no Issa Hanoh, okay? There's no Issa Hanoh because, again, they were bevatlet already. They sold it, and that's what Joshua was saying before. It was used, but it's not used anymore. It has no status anymore. So he thinks that it's a mutter behanoh. Okay, but he quotes this machlokas. I quote the Magen Avraham as Mekel, but he says the Dogma Ravava, and we also the Eli Rabba were stricter about this. Okay, and therefore he says lechatchila it's better not to look at the last two lines of 61. Lechain lechatchila bade yesh lahachmer, but it's a tzorech. No, the need. You know what can we do? Then you know we can rely on the other shita b'shas and chak. That's also how the Sholem Meishiv rules in his Tshuvas Madura Kamachel Gimel Simin Ayin Beis. You look through it. I'm not going to read the whole truth. He says the same thing when he quotes the name, what it said on the outside of the building. Take a look just how he spells it. It said, Beloshan Angus, the end of the third line, Alaskupa Shar Habais, on the archway entering the building. It says in Loshan English, Welch Scotch Methodist Church. That's what the situation was over there. The Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Mem Hay of Simkuf Nandalid. He says it's a machokas, again, where you should actually make a permanent shul out of it and so on. Okay, and you think some people are. You know, would certainly answer it. What about renting? We'll finish up with this. What about renting a building? Sometimes in Yom Narayim they have to rent. Okay, so it's interesting. I saw. Well, we'll see in a moment. Just a couple of quickly. The Shulchan Aruch discusses in general whether if you rent a place in Davin there, whether it even has Kedusha space that connects us all together. Shulchan Aruch says not. In Simkuf and Dalas Gotten Beis Hasochim Bayis Mispalim Bo Enlo Din Beis Haknesses. It's not a shul. It's a room they're renting temporarily. The Chavis Yor in his Tshuva Simen Nun Tes says Pokazi Ma'am Debar. Go see what people do. It's all the time. People have a Yom Narayim. We have an overflow minion, what we call here in Tinek, the sweat minion or this minion in different people's homes and so on all the time. That doesn't mean they have the full Kedushas Beis Haknesses for all these dinim. Right, for all these dinim. It's not a shul. They might say, yeah, once a week they daven in the basement or in the den or whatever. He said they don't have the status of a shul. And he says, the ma'aseh b'chol yom, people do that and they don't have the same kedush as a shul. The Divrei Chaim, that's the sons of Rav, Rav Habishtam, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simon Lamed Beis, 66, talks about the Chassidish Rebbes very often have a room where they daven in, but it's in their house. They bring people in. They do all kinds of other things in that room. They have simchas and tishas, whatever else. It doesn't have kedusha the Beis Haknesses. And that's the Mishaburu rules in Simkuf Nundal, Simkuf Vav. He says, Lizman Kasochim Bayis, Lizman Kavua, for a month or for a year. He says, those buildings don't have kedusha of the shul altogether. Okay, and Abir Halacha, though, he's not so convinced. Abir Halacha, he's not so convinced if it's a long-term rental. So that's possibly a question. That's certainly possibly a question. And therefore, you can discuss the rooms above them. The whole place doesn't have the Kedusha of a shul. But even so, the Beis Yosef is concerned that what's above should be benekius. It should be clean. That's what the Taz Sivkotnav also says. Okay, so that's an interesting. And the Shar Tshuva in Sivkotn Beis in 71 says, Mikomokom ein yecholin linog minog bizayon. Don't use it for, you know, for obnoxious purposes and disgusting purposes and so on. Ram Shik has a tshuva in Chelek Archaim Simen Samach Zayin. Beis Haknesses was built. Look at this, 72. Beis Haknesses shebanu osam mokum shab makodem refes bakar. It was a barn, and then they converted it into a shul. Okay, it was a barn. He says, you know, And that's a question. He doesn't think it's was the right thing to do, right? We wouldn't do this for, you know, for our own things and so on. You wouldn't do it for Kaz Barco. It's a little bit perhaps busy mitzvah.
How does it work today? April 4th is Easter Sunday. April 5th is Pesach.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're at the Tarrytown Hilton for Pesach.
Yeah.
It was used as a mass room the day before.
Right, right. That's exactly this question. So that's exactly what I want to mention. Two tshuvas I printed in 73 and 74. Doveg Meisharim. That's a Chabina Gon. Chelik Dalad, Likute Tshuvas Ohar, Simon Tesvov. And Yigus Moshe, or Chaim Chekal, Simon Lamed Aleph. Both tshuvas were written to Reb Menachem Tzvi Eichenstein, who was a Rav and a Posuk Ir in the early 20th century in St. Louis, the mid 20th century in St. Louis. Now the son was a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Eichenstein, this was a volume that was put out in his honor. I guess he retired or something. I'm not sure the details. Anyway, he objected. They had a shul that for the Yomim Noraim wanted to rent a hotel, you know, a room in a hotel because they needed the crowd space and so on and so forth. They rented one of the local hotels in St. Louis. And he objected to it. And both the Dovim and Sharm, he thinks it's not right. Okay, because all look at right. So b'chol hashana hu mokom shenasim sham kol minei pritzos b'kalos v'hila. Who knows what they do in these rooms all year long? This hotel auditorium, this hotel, you know, it's one thing if they just have business there, but you know, they use who knows what, and who knows how people dress and what else they do there. He doesn't think it's right. He says the davar bar is chalila in kategor saying a davin yom in the rhyme in such a place. And Rav Moshe also in that tshuva Chaim Chaylav Simon Lamed Aleph. He says, again, written to the same Rabbi Eichenstein, he says he also doesn't think it's right that they do all kinds of terrible things. You have to find out what they do. If it's just business room, it's one thing. But if you have other things, and you said, you know, before it was used to mass and so on, then they're very objectionable. However, having said that, actually, you know, talked to a Shechter about it this week because it bothered me also. And he said, look, sometimes you have no choice. What are you going to do? We need the space and so on. If it's possible to, you know, rent a hall or whatever that doesn't have this problem, okay. But sometimes, you know, again, we had leniencies, especially when a rental doesn't have the full kedusha, but it's probably better to avoid it if it can be avoided. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to pass it.
So anybody, you know, our problem is only with rental and temporary place. If it's makom kavua, it's okay. If we buy
we saw that to machlokas. We saw that some allowed it. Some allowed it. That was one of my focus. That back in 55, the Mishnah Berurah says he's not convinced. And maybe it is also, but at least there's more room for leniency. The last two tshuvas I printed, also very much nogeya. Not the non-Jews are using it, but what if Jews are using it, they're not behaving properly? Let's say it's like in Chelek, Arachayim, Chelek Bey, Simon Mem, and Arachayim, Chelek Gimel, Simon Chof. Hey, tshuva is about Jews using, conservative and reformed temples. I want to make a minion, a kosher minion in one of the side rooms. Okay? And that's a question. You walk in there, says emotion, people are going to think you're going to go to something like we go back to we started with, to come full circle. People are going to think you're diving there. You're supporting that institution. It doesn't think it's right to go in there. Again, sometimes if you can make it clear that that it's a shul and that people know about it, and then it says there's some room for leniency. Just to conclude, I remember a few years ago, a lot of people in my side of town vote on election day in Whittier School. And a few years ago, they were doing construction. So they moved the voting site, I think, to one of the Methodist churches over here. So I remember, you know, so people ask you allowed to vote. So it happens to be, I won't mention any names, but the press called three different rabbis in Teaneck to ask whether the rabbis permitted or not. None of us knew that any other people had been called. And then the article was printed, and it looked funny. All the rabbis answered, I think, Kedarkam. And I'm not criticizing anybody. So one rabbi said, it's 100% muti, you're just going in to vote. And the other rabbi said, it's absolutely forbidden, you're not to walk in there. And I said, it depends. If there's a clear sign outside, vote here to the polling place, whatever, there's workers and the voter, not in the sanctuary, but just side room, and it's perfectly clear that it's a voting place. They have American flags, and this is a polling place for District 6 or whatever it is, District 9. So then I thought it is mutter. So, but in any event, that's a Moshe Tshuvas about even making a side minion, a conservative and a reformed temple, even though you're wearing a kosher minion, the question of my sign, you have to bear that in mind. Anyway,
So we have a problem every time we have a wedding, like in these hotels, then we have a problem. The problem of tefillah and all those things. But
we have no choice. We, you know, you're having a hotel, you're having a wedding in a hotel, you got to dive in minchit, you're going to run out of time later. again, I, as I said, I spoke to a shechta about it this week. He says, well, you know, it's, if we have better ways to avoid it. Look, now there are hotels that are owned by from Jews where they use the, you know, I mean, not too many people going to hotels right now, but, you know, hopefully soon, you know. But you're right. You know, Josh, you said before, they use it for mass today and they're going to use it shul tomorrow. That's a little funny, but we have no choice sometimes. But there's some room for leniency. But I said, we saw these chuvas that they said lechatchil at least should be avoided. So if we can, we avoid it. If no choice, then okay, no choice is always a question. It doesn't mean no choice. You don't stay home. You tell me to stay home for Pesach. Okay, that's not necessarily a simple solution. Okay, I wish everybody a good Shabbos.